All right, everyone. Welcome to Database and Methods, a cyber seminar series hosted by VIREC, the VA Information Resource Center. Thank you to CIDR for providing the technical and promotional support for this series. Database and Methods is one of VIREC's core cyber seminar series, and it focuses on helping VA researchers access and use VA databases. This slide shows the series schedule for the year. Sessions are typically held on the first Monday of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find more information about this series and other VIREC cyber seminars on our website, and you can catch up on previous sessions on HSRND's VIREC cyber seminar archive. Once again, a quick reminder to everyone who registered for the session, slides are available to download. You should have received an email today before the session with a link to download the slides. To learn more about how to get the most out of your VIREC cyber seminar, please check out the tip of the month in the September issue of VIREC's Data Issues Brief. Today's session is the second of the fiscal year, and it focuses on requesting access to VA data. This session will help you distinguish between the three categories of data access, and it will cover the standard data request requirements for each category. The presentation is titled Requesting Approval for Access to VA Data, and my colleague Linda Koch is here to present. Linda is the Technical and Privacy Liaison at VIREC, and she advises on policy for the VA CMS project, and she focuses on improving access to data in the VA. Thank you for joining us today, Linda. Can I turn it over to you?
Yes. Thank you, Hira. Welcome to our cyber seminar on requesting approval for access to VA data. Before we get started, a quick poll to find out what you use data for. The question is, what is your role in research and or quality improvement or other access category? Are you an investigator, a PI, or a co-investigator? Are you a data manager, an analyst, or a programmer, a project coordinator, or other? If you are other, please describe your role via the Q&A function on the tool to the right on your screen with the orange arrow. Heidi?
And responses are coming in. I'll give everyone a few more moments to respond before we close it out and go through the results. Looks like we have slowed down here, so I'm going to close that out. And what we are seeing is 42% of the audience saying investigator, PI, or co-PI, 24% data manager, analyst, or programmer, 18% project coordinator, 16% other. And in that other category, we have IRB chair, research compliance, measurement consultants, QA for infection prevention plus research, advocate, and health professions education and evaluation research fellow. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Heidi. Now we have just another quick poll so that we can understand the extent of your experience working with VA data. How many years of experience do you have working with VA data? The first answer is 1 year or less, more than one, less than 3 years, at least three, but less than 7 years, or at least seven, less than 10 years, or 10 years or more. Heidi?
And again, we'll give everyone a few more moments to respond. I apologize for the noise in the background. I've got somebody vacuuming in my hallway right behind me. So it looks like we are slowing down there. I'm going to close this out. And what we are seeing is 40% of the audience saying 1 year or less, 24% saying more than one, less than 3 years, 22% saying at least three, but less than 7 years, 6% saying at least seven, but less than 10 years, and 7% of the audience saying 10 years or more experience. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, it looks as if we might have a lot of new investigators in the audience, and I certainly hope that the information that we're going to provide today will be helpful. So today's objective, the purpose of this cyber seminar, is to provide an introduction to requesting approval for access to VA data. There are 8 milestones you might encounter on your journey towards using VA data for your project. The first milestone will probably be identifying your project question. The second is to find data that can answer your question. Third will be to get funding and approval. And you may also submit your project to the IRB to be approved as a research project, or to get a written finding that the project does not constitute research. With that determination, you can address the fifth milestone, verifying what VA data access category your project fits into. The next milestone is where most of this presentation will focus, determining what data access permission process is required to obtain the data for your project. The seventh milestone is receiving your data, and we'll talk very briefly about that towards the end. And the final milestone in your data access journey will be using your data. There are 4 milestones I'll talk about today. I'll briefly touch on how to find data to match your question. Then I'll show you a way to verify your VHA data access category. I'll review factors that determine which data access permission process is required. And finally, I'll talk briefly about receiving the data, finding data to match your question. First, it helps to be clear about the type of data you'll need. This slide shows a few examples of the types of VHA data available. Patient health records or electronic health from the electronic health record. Include allergy, lab tests, lab results, inpatient and outpatient, pharmacy, radiology, diagnosis and treatment, and mortality status. And those are all available in various data sources. Or your project might be focused on managing patient care. You might need data for appointments, consults, recall reminders, wait lists. You might be studying community care outside the VA, or you might be looking at primary care management. Or your project might be focused on managing you might be studying healthcare providers or healthcare specialties, or locations of care like facilities and their sizes and complexity scores. In the VA, data can be obtained from many sources. If you attended last month's Database and Methods Cyber Seminar by Maria Soden, this slide will look familiar. The Corporate Data Warehouse, or CDW data, contains electronic health record data. If you're looking for data that has been organized or summarized around healthcare utilization, you may find it helpful to access the medical SAS or MedSAS data sets, or the vital status file for mortality data. The managerial cost accounting national data extract data and the pharmacy benefits management or PBM data can provide data on clinical care activities and costs. And the VA CMS or Medicare and Medicaid data may be a good source for you, particularly if you're studying veterans over 65 or who are disabled, or who suffer from end-stage renal disease. You can find information about data sources on the VHA data portal. I'm showing the homepage here. You can find data sources at the upper right navigation link. Another site for information about data sources is on the VIREC website. You can find links to information about data sources, topics, and data tools at the right near the middle of the screen. The URLs for these slides are included in the resources section at the end of the slide. In milestones 5 and 6, I will cover requesting permission to access the data sources you need for your project. To begin, I'm going to show you how you can use the VHA data portal to learn about requesting data access permission. You'll see some factors that determine the access request process. And then we'll look in more detail about what those factors mean. We're looking again at the VHA data portal, and you'll notice at the top navigation next to data sources is a link to data access information. We'll look at the research data access page to give you an idea of what you'll encounter. The data access pages generally have an overview of the research or other type of data access category, explain the types of data access available, and provide links to data access request processes. At the bottom of this page is a list of VA data sources. Each has a toggle or plus sign at left. We'll use the CDW data as an example. If we click on the plus sign, we'll open this box, this table, that directs you to the correct data access process for your data on CDW. There are several columns showing the factors that influence which process is needed. This example is not the best to show distinctions between these factors, but I wanted to show it to you because the CDW data is requested so frequently. The column data source at left here lists the names of the CDW data sets and databases. The column just to the right is level of access. We'll find out a bit more about this later, but the three levels of access for VA are local, VISN, and national. The next column lists the identifiers available for each of the data sources, including real SSN, scrambled SSN, or no SSN, or patient SID, or SID, or security identifier. The fourth column lists the data formats, usually SAS or SQL. You can see here that CDW data is available only in the SQL format. The fifth column shows the type of data access available. Data access for CDW data for research projects is restricted to data extracts or views. Finally, the sixth column shows the data access process to use for research. It is the same for all CDW data sources at all levels of access and all identifiers. For data sources other than research access to CDWs, the request process can be different for each combination of these factors. If instead of research, you are planning a quality improvement project, the same factors lead to a different result. We'll look again at the CDW data, this time for a QI study. We see most of the same factors: data source, level of access, identifier, and data format, which lead to the data healthcare operations request process. This last column, request process, contains links to a portal page with more information about each process. Note here that the identifier needed for the project drives the type of access privileges granted and the CDW tables that can be used for operations purposes, and that's all shown here in the identifier column. So I think it might be said that the VHA data access requests are complicated. There are separate request categories depending on the purpose of the data use. We're lucky to have so many sources of data available in the VA, but they're stored in multiple venues, use multiple identifiers, are managed by multiple data stewards, and come to you in multiple formats, with multiple analyses platforms available to choose from. This leads to a complex permission process with multiple types of user privileges, multiple request processes with their own forms and document requirements, and multiple data access and or data delivery processes. That's a lot of things to keep in mind. So what do you need to know about in order to get data access? First, you must know your project's data access category, what record identifier you'll need, the number of facilities included in your project, where your data are hosted and stored, what the requirements are for the approval process, which platform or venue you'll use to manage and analyze data, how you receive the access to your approved data, and what data formats your data will be in when you get it. Let's continue on the journey with a look at VHA data access categories. On the data portal page, under that data access tab, you'll see a link to the data access overview. On the overview page, you'll see another link to Research versus Operations Decision Tool. The Decision Tool includes this Access Category Finder. Beginning at the top left and moving to the right, we can see that program administration projects that need data for planning and administrative analysis for VHA's facility or program office is categorized as operations data access. Sorry about that. Starting at the left again, quality improvement projects, which might involve improving a process or activity, is also categorized as operations data access. The next row shows us that program evaluation work is also categorized as operations. The key thing to keep in mind is that these three data uses or purposes are to administer, improve, or evaluate VHA activities. The benefit is to the VHA. The fourth row, preparatory to research, is pretty self-explanatory. Data use under this access category is limited to the preparation of funding proposals or research protocols that will contribute to generalizable knowledge. The last row involves data access to conduct a VA-approved research project that contributes to generalizable knowledge. It can also include data access for a project that has been funded as research. Not every project that's funded by research, by ORD, is funded as research. But if yours is, it will be categorized as research. And you'll note that the difference here between preparatory to research and research and the program administration, quality improvement, and program evaluation is that the operations work is done for a VHA facility or program office to improve their processes, and the research and prep to research is done to contribute to generalizable knowledge. That is the key to the difference between these two, between operations, prep to research, and research. The next milestone to data is finding the right data access permission process. You now know what data access category applies to your project. What do you need to know next? First, we'll look at the record identifier required, the number of facilities included in the project data, and where data are hosted and stored. As I mentioned in our data portal example, some data are available with a VA scrambled social security number or SSN, and the real SSN. Two identifiers that I didn't mention are the CDW Internal Control Number, or ICN, and Medicare and Medicaid beneficiary ID numbers. While some data sources are available with only one of these identifiers, others may be available with more than one. Included here are also some reasons you may need one identifier or another. You may need to request real SSN if your project will link data from a VA data source to primary data. If you need data only in CDW, however, the ICN or SID that we talked about earlier may be the identifier you need. The tables that are included in the VHA data portal will show you all the available identifiers for each data source. This slide could be labeled level of access, a term that could mean almost anything. But in the VHA, it refers to where the patients included in your study get care. If all of the patients that you are studying are treated only at your local VA healthcare facility, the level of access is local. If patients in your study receive care at multiple facilities, then the level of access is VISN. If you want to study patient care at any facilities outside your VISN, the level of access is national. However, if you have national research data access, this does not mean your project will have access to data for every project or for every patient in the national VA data system. For research, access to many data sources is always limited to the cohort list or to the data needed to develop your cohort. Here are some examples of where VHA data are hosted and stored. The VHA data portal and VIREC websites can help you find out where the data sources you need are stored. So we finished the first four. What's next? Requirements and approval processes. There are some standard requirements that are the same for many data sources. They're based on the data access categories: operations, prep to research, and research. The standard requirements for operational use generally requires supervisor approval. Approval by the information security officer may be required too. For research, the standard requirements always include one or more of the project documents and approvals. These include your IRB approval letters, your research and development committee approval letters, your protocol, sample informed consent and HIPAA authorization form, or an IRB approved waiver of HIPAA authorization or waiver of informed consent, or the Real SSN access request form, which is required only if data with Real SSNs are requested. And you can submit this with your IRB application to speed up the process of getting forms signed if you want. You do not need to fill out an IRB approval. You do not need IRB approval for prep to research data access. Prep to research access does not require a HIPAA waiver of authorization. Remember, this access is only to prepare a funding proposal and or a protocol to submit to the IRB. This is a HIPAA requirement, not limited to the VHA. What is required is a memo to the data access manager or to your files that includes both information about your project, the topic, the protocol, the data access time frame, summary of the objectives, and an explanation of your use, and affirmations that you will use the data as it is intended to be used to prepare your funding request or research protocol. Only aggregate data can be recorded, that is, retained, and may only be used for background information to prepare your proposal or protocol. individually identifiable information that you access through in your prep to research activities will not be recorded anywhere. You cannot keep it. It will not be used for contacting or recruiting subjects and will not be used for any other purposes. And all of these affirmations and this information should be included in your preparatory to research memo. VHA data stewards and access managers also have their own requirements and approval processes. Examples of data steward and access managers include National Data Systems, also called NDS, VIREC, Pharmacy Benefits Management, or PBM, Patient Care Services, or PCS, and the Customer User Provisioning Service Point of Contact, fondly known as the CUPS POC, at your local facility or office. For research requests, NDS uses the Data Access Request Tracker application, or DART, and requires a research request memo for all DART requests. This form and all other DART forms can be found on the portal, DART, on the DART process page, along with a link to launch the DART application. Here's an image of the memo form. Additional required forms will be determined as you make your selection on the data sources page of DART. DART will then prompt you to upload the forms for your request on the DART page after this DART data source selection. Here are some examples. The CDW data domain checklist is submitted, one form per project. Other forms are required for each person who will have access to a specific data source, such as the research access to a VHA electronic health record form, for access to CAPRI, Vista Web, and the Joint Legacy Viewer, and rules of behavior for users of the vital status data. Operations requests to NDS, such as for quality improvement or program evaluation projects, submit an EPAS web form from the VHA data portal. They don't use DART. Each request is for data access for an individual, not the project. A link to the NDS project process can be found on the portal data access pages for operations users, and the EPAS form can be created from there. You'll enter information about yourself, your supervisor, and ISO, and the purpose of your use. At the bottom of the form, you select the data sources and indicate how long you'll need data access. A tab at the top of the form will be displayed for each of the data sources you've selected. There are additional fields completed on each. The form is all automatically routed to your supervisor and ISO for their approval. You don't have to take the form, download it, and have it sent to them. Access request for research to CMS data is managed by VIREC. Medicare and Medicaid data access request forms can be found on the VIREC website. Here are four of the standard request forms: project information and authorization form, the data security compliance form, the rules of behavior for each person with access, and a data description form that will describe all the data files you need and the time periods for which you need them. There are other forms required. Requesters are strongly urged to ask for a pre-request consultation unless they're very experienced with the CMS data for research. Operations access to VA CMS data is managed by the Medicare Analysis Center, MAC, an office of the Assistant Deputy Undersecretary for Health, or ADUSH, for Policy and Planning. Instructions and contact information can be found on this page at the URL shown at the top of the slide. This screenshot provides instructions for requesting pharmacy data from PBM, or Pharmacy Benefits Management. You mail a copy of your IRB approval form and a summary of your study protocol to the PBM address shown on the screen. You click on the Submit button and complete the form that appears there. Patient Care Services requires a data transfer agreement between PCS and the investigator for each request. There are different DTA requirements for research studies, quality improvement studies, and program evaluation studies. Data dictionaries and instructions for requesting data are available on the PCS SharePoint site. The URL is shown here on the slide. And Julie Strickland is the point of contact for patient care services. And questions about patient care services data can be sent to the email address shown in the slide. The 9957 form shown here is required for data sources that are requested through the local CUPS POC. Form 9957 and instructions are available through the link shown here at the bottom. The form is the same for operations and research. You use this form when you're requesting scrambled SSN access to mainframe MedSAS data, to the VSSD web reports with scrambled SSNs, or to the ADIS enrollment data on the mainframe, which only contains scrambled SSNs. You can also use it for real SSN access to local MedSAS data on the mainframe. The local MedSAS would be to your own facility only. Returning to the portal page that we looked at earlier, I hope you now have a better understanding of the factors that drive data access and will apply to your project. So next we're going to talk about receiving the data. The last three points that we'll cover will help you understand how to get started using your data. You'll be determining where you'll manage and access, analyze your data, how you'll receive or access the approved data, and the format of the data that you'll receive or access. Once your request is approved, your data will be made available to you in the venue you selected during your request process. So that part is all done when you submit your request to the data steward. This slide shows some of the options for where you can analyze your data for each of the sources, depending on your data access category. For example, if you requested MedSAS data on the mainframe, the designated person on your project team would directly access the MedSAS data and process it there, or download the data needed to the approved server for your facility or office. This is the same for operations, prep to research, and research. We don't have time to explain all of the other examples today, but you can find all of this information on the VHA data portal. Depending on your access category, the data source and the level of access, identifier, and the access platform you want to use, you may receive access in the following ways. Direct access to full data sets or domains is available for operations and prep to research access to domains needed and any access on the AITC mainframe. For research on CDW data and many other data sources, you'll receive data views or extracts of your study cohort data that will allow you to refine your research cohort or select the records that match your final cohort definition. Research projects can have data views delivered to a Vinci project workspace or request that their data be made available on a CDW transfer server for the project team to download to your local server. These are examples of the available formats for the different data sources. So for NDS managed data, you can get CDW data in SQL and mainframe data in SAS. If you're looking at MAC or VIREC Medicare and Medicaid data, you can get it in SAS. And you can also get it either in Vinci or on the SAS grid. Or if you're an operations office, you can get SAS at your local server. If you get patient care services data and PBM data, the format will always be SAS. I hope that knowing what to expect in the data access request process will make the road between a great project idea and got my data a smooth and speedy journey. The remaining slides describe resources that you may find helpful. Here's the data access pages on the VHA data portal. This slide shows the VIREC intranet and internet and the VHA data portal, and the URLs are there for each. You might want to save those to your desktop. Other VIREC options for specific questions include the HSR Data Listserv and the VIREC Help Desk. Here's a list of links to other VHA data sources and some helpful URLs. Note that the first link is a great quick list, lots of links to resources related to using VA data. Available from our toolkit page on the VIREC website, but I recommend that you download it and keep it handy, maybe on your desktop. Here's my contact information. We'll stop now, and we've got lots of time for questions, but if there are others that come up and we don't get to yours, contact the VIREC Help Desk, and we'll see what we can do about getting you the best answers on specific questions. Hira?
All right, thank you, Linda. We have a couple questions in, but as Linda said, we do have plenty of time for questions, so if you want to submit any questions, you can do it that through the chat box. And so, Linda, the first question is about non-VA researchers. Are these databases open to non-VA researchers who are affiliated with a university?
Well, I think there's some feedback. Are you getting feedback, Kara?
No.
Okay.
Everything,
I'm just hearing it on mine. Non-VA researchers can't directly access VA data that we're talking about here today, but they can connect with a VA principal investigator and become part of a research project if they're willing to become what's known as a WAC, a without compensation affiliate of the VA. And as a WAC, they can work under a VA PI on a project and have access to all the data that we talked about today. So that's one way. You can also do collaborative research with a VA principal investigator on a project. It's not a simple process, but you would have to start first with the VA principal investigator who would be willing to have a collaborative project with you. And there are limitations about where the data sources can be lived and it all has where they can live, and it all has to be approved by the IRB and the VA and at the university. So it's not easy, but the easiest road is becoming a VA WAC. Kira?
All right, thank you. Next question. What if a user wants to use a QI project for a conference and publish an article on that project?
there's not a restriction on publishing. A lot of people think that there's some kind of prohibition against publishing if you're doing quality improvement work or program evaluation work. It's there are several journals, and I show some examples on that the decision tool on the portal. If you click on that link that I showed you on the slides, let me just go back to that page really quick. Is it here? If you click on this link, you will get a set of slides that give you more information about each of these, and it also makes it clear that there are journals that where you can publish quality improvement studies. There's not as many outlets for publishing quality improvement, but they exist and people use them all the time from the VA. One of the things that I mentioned about you need to get, before you can publish a QI product, you need to get a form from ORO, the Office of Research Oversight, that just has a declaration that the work that you're publishing is non-research. And that's on the ORO website. And I think that there's a link in the decision tool to that website.
All right. Thanks, Linda. Next question. Is there a source for annotated data dictionaries for all these different data sources?
There are multiple places to look in the VA for information about data. If you go to the VIREC website, if you start with the portal, now let's see, where did we go? Oh, here. If you start with the portal, there's the data sources pages here, and you can find links there to the information. And if you look on the VIREC intranet, you'll find information here. I hate to do this, but I could I'm going to go to that website. Can you see my screen now, Hira?
Yes, it's good.
Okay. If you go to, like, to this, for example, the CDW data set, and you go to fact books, and you have we have a list of fact books, and you can open them up. I'm going to take the inpatient one. And you will find out all kinds of information about all of the elements in, for this example, inpatient domain of the CDW. And VIREC has these sorts of guides for most of the major data sets. CDW information is also available on the CDW SharePoint site. I think your best bet would be to go to last month's presentation by Maria Soden and look through the URLs that are listed in her study or in her presentation last month.
All right. Thanks for taking us through that, Linda. We have a couple more questions that came in. Some VA field dietitians may be working in a facility that does not engage in research. Would they need to identify a VA principal investigator to engage in QA studies?
No, the QA studies can be done with the approval of your facility or administration or program office. You don't have to have a principal investigator. You have someone doing a project for an office or a site or a vision, you know. So it's not really a PI. You do have to be affiliated with the VA as an employee or WAC.
Okay, I think this person is a VA field dietitian, so that part's checked.
Yep. And you just develop your proposal, get it approved by your supervisors, and if you want, you could send it to Oro to make sure that it's not research. They love having people check with them first rather than coming later and telling them that they did something wrong. But if it's clearly an improvement or a quality assurance project, there's no reason why you can't go ahead with that study. But I do recommend going to Oro first. They're very kind to you when you come and ask, is this research or can I do this as a quality assurance project? And they'll tell you what the rules are, too.
Okay.
You can find the link to them again at that data access tool. I'm just going to check and make sure that there's a Oro link there. I may not have put it in there. We can make that available.
Okay. All right. This next question is about data access categories. This person is a doctoral student at an outside university, and they will be requesting access to recruit participants from their local VA. What category does she fall into?
Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. I'm a doctoral student at an outside university and will be requesting access to recruit participants from my local VA. This is for my doctorate. What category do I fall in?
I'm not really sure I have enough information to answer.
Okay.
Could you send that question to the BIREC help desk?
And, sure.
If we have a little bit more information, we might be able to figure out how that you might get that done.
Okay. What database or classification does IPAC fall under?
Could I have more information about IPAC?
IPAC, I-P-E-C. I forget what the acronym stands for.
Could the person give us the acronym meaning?
Yeah, if it comes in, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What if, as a student researcher, I receive local VA approval to recruit and advertise a research project and recruit participants? Can I also access VA data as a student researcher?
Are you, all right, it would depend on your employment or WOC status. If the person is a WOC, they can work under a VA PI to, and for a project if the PI is willing to sponsor the project and them to do it. And then they can access VA data.
Okay. I have another question here. For a research project, we are interested in using data from the CDW production surgery pre, intra, and post tables. But we have been told that these require SQDUG approval. Can you explain this process and why this approval is needed for CDW data?
The surgery department decided that it didn't, it wanted to have more control over how the surgical data are used in research. And the we call that acronym SQDUG, or SQDUG, some people say. It's a committee that creates the data sets that researchers will use when they study surgical activities. So rather than giving researchers access directly to the surgery domain, you submit a request through DART, you check the box for SQDUG data, and then in addition to the processes that NDS uses to approve a research request, you also have the request go to the surgery department, and they want to know more about what you're doing and how you're going to use the data. And they're not alone in a lot of the program offices. Remember that one slide that I showed with all the population data sets? Those departments also want to, let me look at that. They also like to look at what you're doing with the data before they give you access or a analytic data set for it. They're helpful in that they do a lot of work in providing a custom data set for you in many cases, but you do have to check with them. So the Ski Dug is just the first one that's been put up on DART on a standard NDS request process, but there will be others soon from this special populations. And these program offices will want to talk to you before you use the data. So it's going to be a pretty standard part of the process for several data sources in the future. So it's basically to make sure that you don't mess up your use of the data. It's very complicated data.
All right. Thanks, Linda. We still have a few more minutes for questions, and we have several more. So next one. When submitting a DART amendment in order to add staff members to an existing project, is a new request memo required to be uploaded as well?
I'm not sure. I really can't answer that. If they're going to have new access to data, I know that they are required to have to include that on a new request memo. I'd say it couldn't hurt to submit the new one with the added name and just say, note, we're adding Mr. Jones and Mr. Smith.
Okay. Someone commented that, yes, as far as they're aware, you do need to update the research request memo.
Thanks.
Okay, the next question is about choice data. Is the choice eligible data included within the CDW data?
There is a raw domain, I think, for choice data. This is the eligibility information on the Community Care and Veterans Choice Act data. It is available on the CDW raw, and I think it's contained on the CDW data domain checklist, which we saw somewhere. Anyway, I think that it's included on that data domain checklist. Let's see if I can find that. I don't know if we'll see it all. Here, at the bottom of your screen right now, the VACAA, Veterans Choice Eligibility. Yes, you just check that box after checking CDW raw domains on the DART data sources page.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
What does the WOC acronym stand for?
Without compensation, WOC.
And what's the process to becoming a WOC?
I would contact the ACOSR, the Associate Chief of Staff for Research at your local facility. Or if you have a research PI that wants to sponsor you already, just ask them to help you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Linda, for taking the time to present today's session. to the audience. I know there are still several more questions or some questions we weren't able to get to. You can contact Linda directly at her email address, which is in the deck. And you can also contact the VIREC help desk at virec@va.gov. You can tune in for the next presentation in VIREC's Database and Methods Cyber Seminar Series on Monday, December 4th at 12 p.m. Eastern. This session will be presented by Kristen DeGroot from VIREC. She will provide an overview of Medicare data available to VA researchers and describe how it can be used to identify veterans' use of health services paid by Medicare. We hope you can make it. Thank you once again for attending. Heidi, can I turn it over to you?
You sure can. Thank you. Linda, I also want to thank you for preparing and presenting today. We really do appreciate it. For the audience, I'm going to close the session out in just a moment. When I do, you will be prompted with a feedback form. Please take a few moments to fill out that feedback. We really do read through all of your feedback, and we appreciate receiving that in. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for today's HSR&D Cyber Seminar, and we look forward to seeing you at a future session. Thank you.